All right, let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Having considered the detailing and the unfolding of the revelation creation of God in chapter 1, we now want to begin chapter 2, and we pray that the Lord give us some understanding into God's work of creation. The scripture declares in verse 1, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them." Now, this verse summarizes everything that was said in the first chapter. The scripture declares that the heavens and the earth were finished. That means they were completed. And all the host of them. Now, I'm going to give you the definition of what the host of them means. Now, when you think, when I first read this, I'll just kind of share my thought pattern with you. I thought, okay, they finished the stars and the sun, the moon, trees, everything was done, and that's true. There's no doubt about that. But that's not the significance of what's being said when God finished the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. Here's the definition of the host. It means the company of things in the order of their nature and the progressive discharge of their functions. Now, let me explain what I just said. The Spirit of God declares that when God created the heavens and the earth, and the host of the heavens and the earth were finished, we realize back in verse 1 of chapter 1, the scripture says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Now let me tell you what was created in the heaven and the earth. Everything. Everything was created on the first day. God created the heaven and the earth. Everything would later be brought into being on the appropriate days of God's good pleasure, but everything was created on the heaven and the earth. Now we'll see this in just a few minutes in this passage that we're looking at this evening. Everything was created and set in order according to God's wise counsel and power. The word host also in the definition, it means like the organization of an army. Whenever God created everything, everything that would come to pass on every day, in every successful week and month and year, everything was created and set in array, like an army. I was thinking about when you look, if you go to a parade and you're standing on the side of the street and you watch the progression of this parade. Well, there goes the clowns, and there's the fire truck, and there's this float, and then this float, and this float. All of that was organized. If you have something that you have planned, an event, you're going to have a dinner, you're going to have something like that, and you have a schedule. And you make out your schedule, and all of the details are worked out. And you've got it all written down, and at this time you're going to be here, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, 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 this. And all the arrangements are made. And everything is prepared and organized so that whenever that time comes, a play, if you have a play, and this person is supposed to come onto the stage at this moment, and at that moment, the band is supposed to play, and this is supposed to happen, and this is supposed to happen. All of it's organized. That's the host. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Everything that would be brought to pass was made. Now, it wasn't brought into existence, but in the mind, will, and purpose of Almighty God, it was there. It was set in array. It's almost like the only way I can explain it from looking at the definition is to say it's set. Whenever it was time for the plagues in Egypt, all of the lice and the frogs and the flies and the hail and everything, all of that was ready. It was set as if it was prepared, and it's set as a mighty army. Whenever you see in the scriptures, you talk about in the host of the army, it means the array. It was all set, you know. There's the archers, and there's the lancers, and there's the guys, there's the artillery, and there's this, and then all of it's there. That's what it meant, the host. The heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Everything was set. It was made. Everything was created and finished. There was nothing brought into being at the day it came forth. God Almighty finished it. So here we see, when we realize, when the Scripture says, all things work together for good to them, it's because all things are as a host, as an army set in array. And we're taught that nothing comes to pass by chance. Nothing is changed because of circumstances, but everything is divinely ordered and orchestrated. I can't think of another word. You understand what I mean? It's orchestrated. This is according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Do you think God Almighty knows what He's going to do tomorrow? You think He's made all the preparation? You think everything has been set from before the foundation of the world? Do you believe that to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven? We're beholding the unfolding of the indescribable providence, wisdom, power of Almighty God. Almighty God is going to bring His people to Himself. And He's going to make sure that everything works according to His purpose. All power has been given unto the Son, that He should give eternal life to as many as God has given Him. Everything is according to His will. The heavens and the earth finished. And all the host of them, everything that God Almighty has been pleased to bring into effect tomorrow, is set. And it's just waiting. And when God says, come forth, it's going to come forth. David speaking, King David, speaking of his salvation, spoke of this very thing. He said, although my house be not so with God, yet He hath made with me an everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure. That is ordained in all points by God's eternal counsel and disposed by His wise and powerful providence, which will overrule all things. This is all my salvation, David said. and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. So the Lord declared in chapter 1, verse 31, when that first chapter set forth God's creation and the unfolding and in the fourth day and in the fifth day and all those days, he brought forth what he created on the first day. He manifested, and God saw, verse 31, everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we're seeing the exhibition of that which God has created and seen to be very good, that we might behold in time and eternity the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know, we relate everything to time, don't we? But in the accomplishment of things concerning Almighty God, everything with Him is now. He is the eternal God. Verse 2 says, "And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had made, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made." Now, after the sixth day, the Lord on the seventh day said that His work was ended. It was done. It's the same word as finished in verse 1. The heavens and the earth were finished on the seventh day. God ended. It was done. It was He rested. Not rested in the sense of being weary, but one who has finished what He's done. So He ceased from all of His work. There was, you know, nothing with man can ever be said to be truly finished. I told somebody, I think I may have used this illustration before. People would ask me some, how do you know when you finish a painting? You don't finish a painting. You just come to a stopping point. I mean, it doesn't matter. Neil, you build a piece of furniture. You say it's finished. There's always something else you could have done. With God, God finished it. There was nothing else to be added. There was nothing else that could be. He alone knows the demand of His completeness. And when God said it's finished, it's finished. And so God ceased from creation. He ceased from His work. Only the omnipotent, omniscient God could know it's done. All is done. And it's very good. So on that seventh day, God did no more creating. And God, verse 3, blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Now listen, here's why. Because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. So the Lord satisfied. He said everything that He had done was very good. He was satisfied with His finished work. And He blessed and sanctified. He pronounced the seventh day to be good. He pronounced it to be good. He blessed it. And He sanctified it. That is, He separated it to be a special day from the other six. Now that's what He did. That's what Scripture says. That seventh day was to be remembered and honored, declared to be a holy day unto the Lord for the remembrance of that which God had finished in creation. Now, that day was a precious day. Turn with me to Exodus. Hold your place here. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Exodus 20, verse 8. God pronounced that day according to the law. Now listen, the finishing of the work of God, This was a day that God, even in His law, in the Ten Commandments, spoke of as being a day to be reverenced and remembered. Now, look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates, because. Why was there a Sabbath day in the law? Why was there a Sabbath day? Why? Here's what it says, for, because. In 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So if you want to know, according to God's word, in the Ten Commandments, why there was a Sabbath day, the day of the Saturday, why there was a Sabbath day, because God said, that's a holy day set apart by me in remembrance of what I did in the creation. And then the scripture says back in Genesis chapter 2 verse 4, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. These are the generations. Now, that word right there, generations, is a very an amazing word. These are the generations. Actually, the word there is, it means the birth facts. Birth facts is what it means. You know, when we have a child that's born, we have what's called a birth certificate. And that birth certificate is one, it's an official document. It's issued by, you know, the state. And it's got all the vital facts that's associated with the birth of a child. It's recorded for the history of that birth, of that child. It'll have the child's full name, and it'll have the name of the parents, and it'll have the date that child was born on, and it'll have the place where that child was born. It'll have the doctor's name, you know, where it was, name of the hospital. It'll have all of the pertinent facts of that birth date. It's a birth certificate. So the word generations here, the word generation, it means the birth facts. So the scripture declared, these are the birth facts, the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. God's declaration that this is what happened. This is how God did it. He created on the first day the heaven and the earth, and then in 6 other days He brought them all forth. He brought these birds and the seas and the firmament. That is the birth facts. We have a piece of paper. God said this is the way it is. And this is it. We're looking at it right here. Here's the birth facts of the generation. Verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now, every plant, every herb, now we read back in chapter 1 that this is how God created it. He brought it forth. But what this is saying right here is that every plant and every herb before it was in the earth, when there was not a plant nor a seed from which anything could spring forth and be displayed in the earth, it wasn't that they didn't exist. They existed. But God had not brought them forth yet. But He did in time, and so when it was pleasing to God, He would bring it forth. But the reason that He had not brought it forth was because in His wisdom, power, it had not rained yet. And it was going to need rain whenever it was. This was going to be for man's existence. And there was no man to till the ground, and there was no rain according to God's good pleasure and wisdom. So therefore, all of this, the herbs and the plants, the seeds and everything else, it wasn't brought into existence until God said, let it come forth. And then it was. And so there was going to be that time. The earth said in verse 6, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground before God was pleased to bring forth the plants and the herb and the rain and man. There went up from the earth a fog, a vapor, and it watered the whole face of the ground. It prepared the ground. And by that mist, by that fog, by that vapor, the earth was made ready and was fitted to nourish the plants and the herbs that God had already created and would bring them forth. And when it pleased the Lord, He brought them forth. And then verse 7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, the Lord formed man. Now here we have the exact detailing of what happened from what was declared in chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. Here we've got the exact account of what God did. The scripture says that God formed man of the dust. And again, words are everything. The word formed, it means He squeezed into shape or molded into form. That's what the word means. He formed a man. He made a man out of the dust. The dust of the field. And just as the only thing I can relate to is making a pot, throwing a pot, potter's wheel, and taking your hands, and it's just the way you can move your fingers, you push in your hand. You can make it whatever you want to make it. And if it doesn't look good, you just kind of wad it up, throw it back on there, do it again, make another one. But that's how you make a pot. And this God formed man, He squeezed into shape or molded into form a man. And he formed him from the dust of the ground. And this is what we always remember. God made us marvelously. I don't know anything about some of you that are in the medical field. I don't know anything about medical stuff. But the little bit that I do know, it just amazes me how the body is just so magnificent. But it's dust. It's dust. And that's what it'll go back to. We, as high as we would try to elevate ourselves in our own mind and ability, we are dust. Dust. But God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The breath of life, it is the soul of lives. The soul of lives. Natural and spiritual. That's the difference between a man and an animal. An animal. An animal's got a natural life, but he doesn't have a living soul. He doesn't live forever. Man has a temporal life, and he's got an eternal life, a spiritual life. He possesses the life that is different from that life of the beast of the field. He was made in the image of God. That's a shadow, a picture of how God Almighty, God is eternal. And man has this temporal life, like all animals do, but man's soul will live forever. So, with the significance now of that, I wanted to look at that, those seven verses, and see just exactly what was being said. But as we close, I want to close on this note. How the finishing of what God does, you know, is everything with God is finished. So here we see the importance of God finishing and resting and blessing and sanctifying that which He does. All of the honor, the glory, and praise in man's creation and second creation, being born again. All that Almighty God ever purposed to do in the first creation, the second creation, regeneration, born again, born from above, it's all been finished. And God Almighty has rested in that which He's done. And He's blessed the work that He's done. So God Almighty, in the will and purpose of Him who loved a people from before the foundation of the world, those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has stood as surety to answer every demand, just as God Almighty did everything and arranged everything as a host in order, and it stands ready to be brought forth according to God's good pleasure, same thing in man's salvation. All the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Everything that was done. God Almighty saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God knew His people. I know my sheep. All of the sheep, they're all His. They've always been in Him. We looked at Romans 8, verse 29 and 30. How God Almighty, everything that God had done eternally, it's now being brought to pass, but it was all done. I'm going to just read it. I'm not even going to try to remember it. For whom He did foreknow. Now here's the host. Here's the host being displayed. All of this was finished. For whom He did foreknow in Christ, in mercy, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate. Now here again, all this is done. It's finished. Them He also called or named. And whom He named, whom He called, them He also justified. Whom He justified, them He also glorified. Almighty God has finished all the works of creation and salvation from before the foundation of the world. And He created all and rested in that which He created. And concerning our salvation, God Almighty, who rested in the work of creation, He rested because it was finished. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, being sent of the Father with a work that He was to do, He finished it. That's what He cried from the cross. It's finished. But it was finished in the mind, will, and purpose of God before the foundation of the world. God trusted in Him. He saw the Lamb slain. But here's what the Father saw right here. It is finished. And the people of God, God rested. Christ rested. And now the people of God rest in Him who has finished the Father's work on their behalf because He finished it. Was there anything else added or needed in God's creation? Is there anything else added or needed in man's salvation? It's done. All of it's done. And just as God Almighty brings forth every day, and we behold the magnificence of the host that had been finished and prepared and set in array, we're watching and beholding the unfolding of what Almighty God is eternally purposed to do in the salvation of His people. the Scripture declares that there is a rest for the sheep of God. There's a rest in Christ. Let me tell you the rest. Here's the easiest way I know to describe the rest of God's people. Faith. God's people believe God. I believe Him. When the Scripture says that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, I rest, Neil, in that. I rest in that. When the Lord Jesus Christ, when the Scripture says He had borne our griefs, our iniquities, that He was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, let me tell you what rest is. I believe God. I believe Him. I believe that. Somebody said, do you truly believe that Christ bore all of the guilt of all of His people for all of eternity, a time, and He put it away? You believe? I do. I do believe that. I believe that. The rest of God's people is that they rest from their laboring to try to establish their righteousness before God. I'm not trying to do that. I can't do it. I know that. And these words of comfort from the Lord God Himself to God's people settles their heart and they rest. I'm not concerned that there's something that's still left to be done. I'm not concerned about that. Somebody say, you're going to rest your soul on that? Yes. What else do I have? Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? What are you going to do? If it's not finished, what are you going to do about it? I got that from Brother Scott. What are you going to do about it? If God didn't finish it, what are you going to do about it? This is the only hope we have. So the Lord's people, they have a constant desire. You tell me again. Tell me how the Lord finished it. He finished creation and all the host. I believe that. I believe that everything's going to come to pass. Everything has come to pass and everything's going to come to pass. I believe God set it in array. I believe He's made it. He's created it. Everybody that's going to be needed in the workings of that day, God's brought them into existence. He's raised them up wherever they were going to be needed to be raised up. And He's put them in whatever position that they're going to have to be in. He set it in array and He brings it all to pass. And I believe that concerning my salvation, everything that was needed, I don't even know bare what was needed. I don't even know what was needed to please God. I don't know. I don't know the demands of God's justice. I don't know. I don't even know how to think like that. I can't figure it out. I'm not worthy of the least of His mercies. I don't know. But He knows. And I believe it. Come unto me, He said. All you that labor, heavy laden, He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My burden light. I pray God bless this to our hearts tonight for His glory and our good. Amen.